Friday. We're calling it a little bit of a happy hour, not full-blown fan club today since we're on remote up in St. Joe. But fan club happy hour is presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Circa Resort in Las Vegas, their Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back with a massive $21 million in guaranteed prizes. Circa Million, you pick five games against the spread each week. You can win $6 million. Circa Survivor, it's pretty simple, right? You pick one a week, no point spread. You last the longest to win it all. $15 million guaranteed. You enter in Nevada. You can play from anywhere. $21 million guaranteed. Just go to circusports.com for details. You can sign up before the start of the season. The weekend you should go is the weekend we're going to be in Vegas, which is going to be Thursday the 21st. Friday the 22nd, we'll be broadcasting live. We're flying out on the 20th. And we'll be hanging out there for a couple days. They're a big contest weekend. What does that mean for you if you're trying to figure out when to enter the contest? That weekend, there's a couple special events, open bar at a couple events, including Stadium Swim. Hope to see some of you out there. I know last year we met a couple listeners that had been doing the contest for a while anyway. So if you're thinking about it, if you're someone that you know you're just going to bet every week of the NFL season, you do the contest, you're set for the whole year. You pick five games, and even if you have a bad week, they have quarterly prizes. They got
booby prizes for the person who finishes last.
Correct, which is that's very difficult to do. People think, oh, I'll just
be terrible at this.
No, you'll end up being better than you think. So you can win. I think it's $25,000 for the booby prize.
I know.
Call it. Yeah. So we'll tell you more about it when we get out there and everything. But we had a ton of fun there. It's a great spot. If you just also want to check out a great place to stay in Vegas, Circa Resort is unbelievable. The world's largest sports book. Their pool area is top notch. Year round, the pools are heated too. So even if you're thinking about going to the Chiefs game in January when they take on the Raiders, that's another great time to show up.
I've seen people out in the pool in the colder weather times where it's all like toasty and warm. We've been out there for a couple of colder weather times as well.
Yeah, we are currently in a wind tunnel now. Unfortunately, it's a beautiful day. We got a little wind tunnel going on us now.
Yeah, it happens every once in a while, you know?
A little happy hour. Thinking of happy hour, my mom just texted me and said, hey, I got something for your dog. I was like, okay.
What?
She's like, I got your dog a dog beer. And I go, okay. Show me a photo. It's something called, it's bone broth, but it's called Tail Wagger. It's a beer.
It's a beer for your dog?
It's a beer for my dog.
Why did your mom get a beer for your dog?
She's just being nice, getting something for my dog. Oh, I'm like, okay.
Nice. She should just save it for the next time she watches your dog.
Well, that's that too.
It could be a special treat.
I'm a little, like, the dog's going to love it. I'm a little concerned, like, am I going to
upset stomach?
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about.
Dude, I just like.
It's a bunch of hearty chicken bone broth, basically.
It's a risk. Anytime you give a dog a new food, it's a challenge. And your dog's older, man.
I know. It's very nice. I know the dog's going to love it in the moment. I don't know if we're going to have – I'm going to have to do it on a day where I got nothing else to do. I'm going to be just chilling.
Just in case you're on dog upset stomach watch?
Yeah, I'm sure she's fine, but, like, I don't know.
As the dog's get older, man, it's kind of tough.
Dog beer. I guess dog beer is a thing.
Okay.
They'll market it to
never seen
market
it.
Anything, I guess.
I've never seen it. We can hear from Josh Simmons coming up in just a little bit, as we didn't get a chance to hear from him from the podium earlier today. But we were talking about the Chiefs and betting and all this other stuff, and you'd brought up an interesting article for us about – looking at what the Chiefs will do, win and lose streak-wise, because we know where this team typically lands from a record perspective, but this was kind of like a fascinating way to look at it.
Yeah, this came from an offshore book, but you know, you look at losing streaks and winning streaks. Last year, the Chiefs' longest winning streak was 9 games. Their longest losing streak was 1 game. They went 15-2, okay? So their longest losing streak was 1 game. You compare that to a team, you know, like Buffalo. Their longest winning streak was 7. Their longest losing streak was 2. We go through this on and on, right? Like the Bears had a 10-game losing streak. Their longest winning streak was 3. So the folks offshore put together the longest winning streak over-unders for the season. We can look at the Chiefs'
kind
schedule. This is kind of fun. So they set the over-under for the longest winning streak this year for the Chiefs at 4.5. So that'd be less than the winning streak last year when they won 9 games. And 9 games in a row. And look, I don't think they're winning 15 games overall this year. They're probably going to be in that 13 or 14 win range.
4.5, that's a big number.
So 4.5, here's how they open up. Do you think it's happening? Are they starting 5-0, I guess, to get you? Do you get the bet hit in the first 5 weeks? Chargers in Brazil.
No.
Eagles at the Giants against the Ravens at Jacksonville.
Giants, Ravens, Jacksonville could be 3 in a row.
Yeah, that could start the next one. I don't see them starting 5-0, though, to cash this over 4.5 win streak right away. But what you're saying, Giants, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Detroit, Vegas. could that be the five?
Yeah, for sure. Just as long as they get past Baltimore, who has been good against them in the regular season, so I'm not saying that's not the case.
Is the better stretch, though, not at Denver, home to Indy, at Dallas, versus Houston, and then a divisional game against the Chargers?
I would say that that presents a few more pitfalls of teams that I don't think will be a laughing stock.
Okay.
Now, I am looking this up. The Chiefs, 2 years ago in 2023, had a six-game winning streak. The Chiefs in 2022 had two separate five-game winning streaks. Gold, I mean, I don't know how far back I'm going to have to go before I tell you that this might be one of those bets that the Chiefs hit every single year. 4.5 might be the bare minimum in the sense that they continuously have gotten to five. But so far, for the last 3 years in a row, going back to 2021, they had a 8-game winning streak in 2021. Let me go back to 2020. I'm going to keep going back until we find a season in which Patrick Mahomes was the starter of this team and they did not win five in a row. My guess is that it's the year he got hurt. The year he missed time with the injury would be my best guess at when they didn't win five games in a row. 2020, they won 9 games in a row. Gold, in most of these years, they're not just covering it. They're covering it fairly easy. Like, I don't know if, like, this is an offshore.
Yeah, this is an offshore book. This is not something you can bet on your stateside legally. But I just conversation-wise, it's fun. Okay?
No, definitely. For sure. I think five to six games is probably what I expect in most given years.
Over 4.5 is minus 115. The under 4.5 win streak is the long. So basically, do you think they're going to win five in a row or four in a row, you know, only four in a row or less, is also minus 115.
They won six in a row in 2019. I have not gone back and found a year in which they did not win that number.
Interesting. So, okay, so you think...
I'm in 2018. I'm getting ready to tell you whether or not they are good. I think that they win at least five games in a row every year.
Is the schedule too difficult this year, though?
No.
I think
their schedule
better...
was equally as difficult last year and the year before. They played a first-place schedule against super teams a bunch of times.
Right. I think this year, because they don't deal with the Christmas... They play Christmas night, but they're not doing the same stretch, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have the 3-game and 11-day or whatever it was, which they ended up coming out very well during that. That was the conversation all last year. I think team-wise, especially if they fix left tackle, they could be a better team this year and win fewer games. Like, they can be a better team and only win 13 games.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's all that uncommon. I would take the over in this heartbeat. Look back at 18, by the way. There's not been a single year that Patrick Mahomes have been the starter that did not win five games in a row.
Well, shoot.
They won the first five
all
games.
Right.
He started in 2018. So they have won at least five games in a row, which is a stat I had not realized. Every single year Patrick Mahomes has been in the NFL, this team has won at least five games in a row. And so if I'm betting it, I'm absolutely doing
minus
it. But it also
15.
Tells you, this is how they get to 12 wins every year. This is how they get to their number. Because doesn't matter the opponent, doesn't matter the schedule, doesn't matter when it will happen. At some point in a year, the Chiefs will win between 5 and 9 games in a row.
Here's
a lock.
The Chiefs do not even have the highest number for winning streaks. So, right, like they're saying over under 4.5 longest winning streak. Will they win 5 games in a row at all this year? Baltimore's over-under is set at 5.5, and so is Buffalo. And then Green Bay's set at 5. Now, I haven't looked at Green Bay's schedule, admittedly. Buffalo's, we know just a little bit more because of the common opponents. But the Bills' longest winning streak, they're saying, will they have a 6-game winning streak this year? Will the Ravens have a 6-game winning streak?
Ravens?
The Ravens last year had a 5-game winning streak, and the Bills had a 7-game winning streak a year ago.
So only one game better than the Chiefs' winning streak? No, the Chiefs had it better than that.
The Chiefs had a 9-gamer. Yeah.
So... okay, so here's the Bills' stretch in which you think they could win
six in a row.
Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons, Panthers.
Right out of the gate. We've said this. They might
those
be
are weeks two through seven.
They might be 6-1 or whatever before they play the Chiefs.
Yeah, then they have the Chiefs and the Bucks and the Texans and the Steelers and the Bengals. Teams they can certainly lose to, and you wouldn't do it. But I'll say, if they don't get the 6-game winning streak there, I don't think they're necessarily just going to get it.
Fair.
At any other point of the season, unless it's maybe the final 6 games of the year. But that would still require them beating the Steelers on the road, beating the Bengals at home, and beating the Eagles at home. So, like, their 6-game winning streak has to happen early. The Ravens is easily the most surprising one to me. Are they going six
that
consecutive
division.
Games?
That division.
I was about to say, are they going 6 straight games without playing a divisional opponent?
The division is what makes that seem very, very unlikely. Like, we all think Baltimore's going to be good, but can they six in a row?
Bills, so just immediately eliminate that one. I'm going to go after the Lions game. I'm going to go after the Chiefs game for the Ravens. All right, so Texans, Rams, Bears, Dolphins? No, that's a no. So let's say starting with Bears.
Texans, Rams, Bears?
Yeah, they're not winning four. Like, they're not getting on a six-game winning streak against Chiefs, Texans, Ravens.
Oh, I was
Ravens.
Saying, can they start it from the Texans, Bears?
Texans, Rams? It's Texans, Rams.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a coin flip game.
Fine. Texans, Rams, Bears, Dolphins, Vikings on the road.
Depends on J.J. McCarthy. I think that's a stretch to watch for them if they were to. If you told me they were going to win at any point five or six
points.
In a row. Yeah, that's got to be.
If you start with the Browns, it's at the Browns, at home against the Jets, at home against the Bengals, at home against the Steelers, on the road against the Bengals. It's like their stretch is probably the one we mentioned. I would take the under on them. That's the other reason why. Like, we'll get into these conversations. I know we get closer to the season. The teams who we think might. Mm-hmm. The only team who's going to take the number one seed from the Chiefs this year is the Bills. The Bills can do it.
This is the year it has to happen.
The Bills can do it.
Yeah, this is the year because of the schedule. It has to happen.
And they've lost to the Chiefs in Buffalo before. But, like, based on Buffalo's schedule alone, you got no excuse but to get the one seed. You're in the easiest division of the opponents that they have to do in this thing. You've got an easy stretch that you could be 7-8-0 before you take on the Chiefs. You got a real chance to be 7-1, 8-0 before you take on Kansas City. You absolutely should be the team of note in that situation. You look focused.
Well, I was trying to look up the odds on to be the number one seed in the AFC this year.
It's
a market that's out there, and I don't see it on my app right now. But I agree with you. I think we've talked about it a few times that this year is the year for Buffalo. If it doesn't happen this year from a seed, I'm talking about for the number one seed. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't happen this year, then, I mean, come on. They legitimately could be – they could be undefeated even heading into their game against the Chiefs. Now, the other way to look at it, if, you know, we're taking the over, like we're talking about the over on the win streaks. What about some of these teams where you're like, hey, they're not winning that many in a row? Like, if you think the Commanders are coming back down to earth, their over under is 4. You take the under on a 4. Are they going to have over 4? Not 4.5. They have to. It's a push at 4. Are they winning 5 games in a row, the Commanders, this year? I don't think they're going to win enough games.
I don't know if Terry McLaurin's going to play for him this year.
Yeah,
he straight up requested a trade. He probably won't get traded. I guess
here's a fun one. Drew's not here. Cincinnati, longest win streak, over-under is set at 3.5.
No, they don't win 4 games in a row. They ever won 4 games in a row?
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Under Joe Burrow?
I'm sure.
Not in their history.
Cincinnati, by the way, last year, even in a bad year, they won 5 in a row, Cody.
They won 5 games in a row?
Last
to get themselves
year.
Back into the playoff hunt?
Uh-huh.
And then immediately lost 3 in a row? Or, like, what happened?
Their longest losing streak was 3. Their longest winning streak was 5.
They just lost a lot of games.
This year it's set at 3.5. Their longest losing streak is set at 2.5.
I mean, if they can't win four games in a row against Cleveland, Jacksonville, Minnesota, and Denver to start the season, well, then it ain't happening.
Yeah.
That's the easiest stretch they got on the entire calendar.
One thing that could help the Chiefs build a winning streak is if they figured out left tackle. Josh Simmons spoke to the media right after practice. Here's some of what he had to say.
Josh, how would you assess your first Chiefs training camp so far?
We're in the middle of it. I'm still working, still stacking bricks, so. Just give me a little longer for that, if I can get you like a estimate.
You got to fight through your first kind of long drives and that heat the other day. What was kind of your mindset? Is there a survival mode that just kind of kicks in at some point?
Yeah, definitely. But you also get like, it's health. It's the funnest thing you can do, like competing against like George Karloftis, Mike Dana. So like that competitive stamina, it just kind of wipes all that kind of tiredness away. So, yeah.
Josh, I'm sure there's a lot you want to improve on all the time, in particular out of your camp. But what's drawing the bulk of your time and attention?
Say that again.
So I'm sure there's a lot throughout your technique, everything that you want to improve. But what draws the bulk of your attention and time right now?
Right now is really understanding defenses. That way I can play a lot faster. Like if I can see a front and anticipate that they may do a stunt or a blitz or a DN might drop, then I can easily kind of help Kingsley and communicate stuff like that. So,
what stands out about the stuff that Spags is throwing at you so
far? You'll never expect it, is what I can say. You'll never expect like what he'll do out of the front. So, keeps me technically like always on point. So,
Josh, what has it been for you to have Andy Heck and Juan Castillo to really work on? You know, I don't know if it's fundamentals or you know certain moves you want to do, but what have you sort of learned from those two guys right now?
Yeah, they put like a plethora of just different pass sets, different like hand movements into my toolbox. So it's like the best resource any rookie can have. Just having that in your back pocket, asking after like a pass rush, what did I do wrong here? How can I fix it? And then going to the next rep and then making those corrections. It's amazing.
Has there been a point so far in camp where you felt like your knee could be a problem or you feel 100%?
as we speak, I haven't felt any like issues with it yet. Neil Alatras is platinum standard, so I mean, I tip my hat off to that dude right there.
How nice is it to be back?
Really nice. Just playing football, like time just slow. It's just, it's therapy. So I'm glad to be back.
Josh, is the rehab still ongoing in some capacity, or have you moved past like that particular?
More just maintenance. You want to make sure your body's, recovering from these types of days. So I'm just more proactive with it than maybe most.
What was the most gratifying part about when you realized you were going to be able to fully participate? Was there a certain day, a certain moment that you knew you'd be ready for this sort of challenge in your rookie season?
It was more about how I felt. I knew I was putting in a lot of work at Ohio State with Stu, and then coming here and having Julie and Rick and all those. I knew if I just showed up and put the work in, it was going to line up perfectly.
Was it legitimately every day?
Every single day, sometimes two a day.
What made you want to stay? I assume that's it. But what made you want to stay in the area as opposed to rehabbing somewhere else? I'm talking about during the month break.
They know my body. I didn't want to go somewhere else, and then they have to kind of refigure out my body, figure out, how does this work? Is he quick and stuff like that? They know everything. Ohio State passed it down to them, so I put my trust in them. So.
Last one in the back.
Josh, I heard Trey Smith, even Jalen Warren kind of helped you adjust to the pace of the NFL. They played Ohio State, but how did they kind of help you adjust to the NFL, how fast it moves?
They've seen it all. They've made the rookie mistakes, so they're trying to, help me so I don't make them, or I'm at least ready for those welcome to the NFL moments. But it's just about the work you put in, asking them questions, even if it's something that I already know, just to confirm, hey on this I should set like this or something like that, and they'll, yes, that's what you want to do, just getting that kind of imprinted in my brain, that way I can play as fast as I can when I get out there.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Josh Simmons speaking to the media a little bit earlier after practice today. I want to pivot, though. Sorry, as we were listening to Josh Simmons, some big news in the NFL. Add Micah Parsons to the list of players requesting a trade. He put out a novel on social media.
I can't even read it.
The star pass rusher for the Dallas Cowboys officially requesting out of Dallas, wants to be traded. Now, this doesn't guarantee he's going to get traded. We see all the time players request to be traded. This one seems a little more personal based off of how the negotiations have gone. We played the audio, earlier this week, I think it was, from both Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones. If you want to read a snippet of it, you can, but it's very long.
Some of it is, he said, I no longer want to be here. I no longer want to be held to a closed-door negotiation without my agent present. I no longer want shots taken at me for getting injured while laying it on the line for an organization and our fans and our teammates, and I no longer want false narratives spread to the media about me. He then later on in there said that at some point last year, he would have agreed to a lower number and told his agent as much, but then started to have some casual conversations with Jerry Jones, but then said somehow the conversation turned him into talking contract with me. Yes, I engaged in a back and forth in regards to what I wanted in my contract, but at no point did I believe this was supposed to be a formal negotiation. I informed Mr. Jones and my agent would be handling the things. He says that that's when things went south. He said, again, the team decided to go silent. At that point, we decided we would allow the team to reach out to us, yet no call, email, text, or anything. Up to today, the team has not had a talking contract with him again. So he's essentially saying he wants out. And I'm about to say, he put a 3-page typed out note on it.
It sounds
this is a very formal request for a trade.
We've joked about, we play the drops of Jerry Jones and everything, but reading the full statement, and you guys can obviously find it on social media, not only is it just the continued circus of the Cowboys and here we go again.
Why they're a bad run team.
But I would be legitimately concerned with some of the things that Parsons said about the conversation he had with Jerry Jones, and then him going to the agent and acting like he thought the deal was done. I would start to worry, hey, is this guy as the owner, and I know you're no kidding, Gold, but is he should he actually be involved in these things to begin with? Should he have a GM? I'm not talking about that conversation the last 20 years. I'm talking about mentally, should he be involved in these conversations? Is he making mistakes and doing things that are jeopardizing the franchise, and it's not something he recognizes he's even doing?
As the general manager of the team, you better damn well sure know if this is a formal negotiation or a thing that maybe you're just trying to get a vibe on before you talk to his agent. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's poorly. They're a horribly run team. They really are. They're a horribly run
team. They're a circus.
And look, I hope for the Chiefs' sake that Micah Parsons doesn't actually get the trade he's requesting and end up on some AFC team who I know for a fact. I can tell you right now, two teams off the top of my head who desperately need pass rush in Cincinnati and in Buffalo.
Yeah, you don't want him going to Cincinnati.
I don't want him going to Buffalo. I don't want him going to, like, major players in the game, you know?
But why would Cincinnati trade for him when they don't even want to pay Trey Hendrickson?
Well, that's a fair point. They're helping their defense. Yeah, I mean, they're not paying Trey Hendrickson. They're too cheap to probably pay Micah Parsons, to your point. Just in terms of talent-wise, a contender in the AFC you don't want him going to. Look, same thing with Terry McLaurin. I still right this second, if I had to bet, I would bet that neither guy gets traded. I would bet it's more likely Micah Parsons gets traded, though.
Based on that statement, agreed.
Terry McLaurin, I still think...
He's just doing the regular pro way.
Correct. I think Terry McLaurin will stay in D.C., and I would lean towards Micah Parsons staying, but this seems much more of an untenable situation than what's going on over there in D.C.
I mean, it's just, he said, not one demand has been made by my agent about money, years, or anything else. Still, I stayed quiet, but again, after repeated shots at myself and all the narratives, I have made a tough decision. I no longer want to play for the Dallas Cowboys. My trade request has been submitted to Stephen Jones personally. He put that piece of paper on his desk.
Good for him.
Like, you know, like when you resign from a job, he's like, I am formally requesting a trade, Stephen. Here you go.
I wonder.
I don't know if he'll actually get traded, though, man. It's hard to trade. This time of year, how many firsts are we talking for a guy like Micah Parsons?
Two.
And you know he doesn't want to get traded. I think it's two as well.
Two in a brand new contract.
I don't think the Chiefs are even a player in this game. But just if hypothetically they were, they could have two in a second.
Yeah. They,
here you go.
They just paid Carl Loftus and they just paid Chris Jones. Like, but yeah, it's fun to dream. I'll say this.
I don't have to dream that long.
The difference with this and any other team is some other teams would put out a statement or whatever and be done. Jerry Jones can't help himself because this now is gone out there from Micah Parsons. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, Cody. Jerry Jones is going to hold court. He's going to do a whole media scrum again, and that thing is going to be must-watch because he's going to say stuff that he probably shouldn't say, and it's going to be incredible theater for everybody involved, and it's not going to help.
It'll probably be like
2 hours. It might happen today. Remember, they're out in Oxnard, California, so I don't know when they normally practice with the Cowboys because out there it's still only 11:30. He has. So I can't wait for that media availability session with Jerry Jones.
It just seems like it's such a messy situation. Such a messy situation, as always, with the Dallas Cowboys.
If you're just tuning in, Micah Parsons, star pass rusher, one of the best defensive players in all of football, officially requesting a trade out of Dallas. Up next, we'll get to what else is trending. Plus, you'll hear our conversation we had with Chiefs tight end Noah Gray right here from Chiefs camp.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, we continue broadcasting live from Chiefs Camp. Our coverage brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Another day of practice today. We saw Xavier Worthy back on the practice field. Andy Reid saying he did not have a concussion. Actually, he was dealing with some liquid that was throwing off his equilibrium.
I think he
described it like neck ear. I think in his ear is actually what it was.
You ever had an inner ear infection? It can make you like all wackadoo.
And so that's what the issue was. Fortunately, that's all it ended up being. So Worthy was back out here towards the end of practice today. Drew Tranquil did injure his back. He's got a strained back. We don't know if that's going to keep him out for long or not. Also, Hollywood Brown did not return to practice today. Still dealing with that ankle injury. Sky Moore still dealing with a hamstring injury.
Next up on What's Trending, as we mentioned just a second ago, if you're just tuning in, Micah Parsons has officially requested a trade to no longer be a member of the Dallas Cowboys. You can see his full statement online as he had put out the many reasons why he no longer wants to be a member of the organization. Adam Schefter tossed out his potential comp for it. When 27-year-old Khalil Mack was traded from Oakland to Chicago, the Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a sixth round for Mack, a second round, and a conditional fifth for the year after. Obviously, 26 years, so a year younger, also has recorded more sacks than even what Khalil Mack had recorded at that point. He was one of the best pass rushers in the league at the time. But there'll be no shortage of suitors if Micah Parsons is actually on the block.
Yeah, I mean, we could also find out here very shortly the Cowboys come out and say, we're not trading him.
I'm waiting.
We shall see. Elsewhere on What's Trending, multiple NFL players already besides just Micah Parsons have been unhappy. Terry McLaurin is not happy with his situation. And we learned that the 2027 MLB All-Star Game will be at Wrigley Field in Chicago, which is obviously going to be an unbelievable scene. Next year it will be in Philadelphia, then we'll see it in Chicago. If we want it back in Kansas City, we'll have to wait till a new stadium is built.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. I would look for one in Wrigley. That'd be sweet. Lastly on What's Trending, don't forget, because we're in a fan club Friday, although we're up at camp, Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back with a massive $21 million in guaranteed prizes. Alex and I will be out there starting August 21st, broadcasting live on the 21st and 22nd. We'll actually be out there on the 20th. For their contest weekend, $21 million in guaranteed prizes. There's Pick'em, right, where you just make it. Pick five games, Circa Million, against the spread each week. 126 ways to win with $6 million guaranteed. And Circa Survivor, one pick a week, no point spread. Last the longest and win it all, $15 million guaranteed. Enter in Nevada, so come join us out there. Play from anywhere. $21 million guaranteed overall. Visit circasports.com for more details.
That's what's trending. And earlier today, right after practice, we were joined exclusively by Chiefs tight end Noah Gray. Been a couple of years since we had Noah on the show. We started our conversation just talking about how a much easier day existed at practice because of the weather here in St. Joe.
Oh, yeah, we're running today. It feels so much better than when it was 100 degrees out here. But, yeah, weather was great. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, it felt good. It was good to see the guys come out here and compete, especially when the weather is this good. You know, get that, you know, good boost of energy out here. Guys are making plays, and it's a lot of fun to compete out here.
Football, you know, is training camp's a sign that, you know, it's officially back and everything. And even last night, the Hall of Fame game is on, even though it's an early preseason game. You guys as a team, or you guys even watch that game last night just to feel football again as well?
Man, I was hanging out with my family.
There you go. Yeah, good for you.
I got a lot of football as it is up here in St. Joe. So I was just hanging out with my family, enjoying the time, and, you know, I heard it was a good game, and glad football's back and rolling.
We need the firsthand account from you. By all accounts, Travis Kelce is in incredible shape. What do you think? Well, you know, what's the behind the scenes? Does Travis looks more svelte, as Andy put it?
Yeah, I mean, Kelce's doing a great job. He's coming out here. He's working with all the guys out here. He's just a leader. He's a guy that comes to work. He's a guy that you want to follow. You want to, you know, watch, you know, everything that he's doing, work-wise, when he's in the film room. So the guy is just an example of what to do right out here on the football field, you know. And I think all the guys, when they look at that, they see a leader in that. And we just try to, you know, take after his example.
So last year when you signed the extension, there's always the temptation, right? Like, well, I can wait it out and then I can try to become the starting tight end of my own and make my – like, what was the appeal behind being here in Kansas City? You've seen your numbers improve every year. You've seen your play time increase every year. What was the – you know, when you go back a year ago, what was appealing the most about staying in Kansas City?
You know, honestly, I try not to look back at it too much. You know, I just love this team. I love the coaches. I love the players. I love the organization. I love the fans. And that's it. And we're moving forward, you know, with that. You know, out here, just seeing all these people who come out and support us every single day, you know, it's not easy. You know, they really just devote their time, their effort, you know, their money, their resources to be out here with us. And it means the absolute world to myself and my teammates. So just really a shout out to the people out here, people that show up at Arrowhead, everyone that just supports us from all over the world. You know, we're going to Brazil this year, and it's going to be such a fun game. There's going to be such a great crowd there, you know, and it's just like the guys out here, you know, I know they all appreciate that, and it's just so much fun coming out to work with these guys. I just love working here in Kansas City. I love everything about it, and it's just been an absolute pleasure, and, you know, the guys are having a great camp, and we're looking forward to continue pushing on.
Have you been anywhere? Have you been to Brazil before?
I have not. No, okay. I've only been to Mexico and Germany outside of the country.
Oh, really? I was going to ask you your favorite place you've traveled to, but it sounds like just the Chiefs is when you're traveling internationally.
Yeah, I was in Mexico for school in college. I was there for a week. I was in Cholula, Puebla. It was so much fun. You know, I got to spend a week down at a school down there called UDLAP. Got to spend some good time, had some teammates in college that went down there, and we got immersed in the culture, did some community service, hung out with some people at the school. I played basketball with the basketball team there, so that was a lot of fun. I got my butt kicked. The elevation there is crazy.
You're just catching your breath.
It's so much different, obviously, than here. You know, I think it's even higher than Denver is. So when I was out playing soccer with the guys, or like I was playing basketball, it was just like the whole week I was just dying. You know, it was just hard to. It was so much different. I thought I was in shape, and it puts it in perspective when you get in that elevation.
You talk about playing basketball. We had someone text in that said we got to ask you about pickleball. Someone specifically said Garrick Dieter's better than you at pickleball. Is that true, or is that just it was Garrick texting in? I don't know.
That's probably Garrick. But yeah, I mean, he's a good pickleball player. We enjoy our time in the off season together. I actually trained with him this off season football wise too. He's a great dude and appreciate him. But yeah, pickleball is a good little sport. If you guys are ever interested, anyone's ever interested, you know, get out there, get some exercise. It's good camaraderie. So yeah, you guys have some fun with that.
Yeah, we had T.O. on the show a couple days ago. He's coming in town for PickleCon, I guess. It's a big pickleball convention in Kansas City. And now he's taking it seriously. Like, we were trying to talk football and he kept going right back to pickleball. So it seems like a lot of former NFL players and athletes are wanting to get into pickleball more too.
Yeah, it's a great sport. And the court's a lot smaller than tennis. And, you know, there's a lot of little intricate details about pickleball that I never thought of. I thought I could just out-athlete people, and it's just not the case. So it's a great sport. It's a great time to meet so many different people. I play a lot when I'm in Florida. You know, it's a big pickleball, you know, capital down there in Naples, Florida. You know, so it's been phenomenal. I got pickleball people in Georgia, Kansas City. It's growing a lot, so it's a lot of fun, and I enjoy my time when I get out to do that.
Is that your main off-season hobby? What else do you do in your free time? You said you got kids. Are your kids young?
Yeah, hanging out with family, fishing, you know, hanging out with friends. You know, there's a it's kind of fun. You know, we're kind of in that stage where all of our friends are having weddings and stuff like that, so that's been a lot of fun to see all my friends get married and married to the love of their lives and, you know, start the rest of their lives with them. So there's a lot going on, man. I got a little girl. My wife is just phenomenal as, you know, taking care of her, helping me out. You know, shout out to them. It's just I wouldn't be able to do what I do out here on the football field if it weren't for my wife, you know, really managing everything and taking care of me, taking care of my daughter. And just a huge blessing. So shout out to you, Mary.
We're talking to Noah Gray here. How much does it help you? You mentioned yesterday you guys were an off day and you got to spend time with the family. Camp's a grind, I don't have to tell you that. And Andy Reid's camp's maybe the toughest camp of anybody in football these days. But then you have the ability to then hang out with your family. How much does that help you kind of get through these days as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's a grind. And the guys, you know, when it comes this time of year, we're focused on football, you know. And just it's a huge shout out to our wives and everyone back home who's holding it down, who's supporting us, who's doing everything they can to support us. It's not easy on them either. You know, but it's great being around these guys, our coaches motivating us, and, you know, guys are locked in. You know, we know what the stake is. This is our job. This is our livelihood. And we come out here and we work hard. You know, our coaches do a great job motivating us. You know, they're great scheme-wise. I mean, just from top to bottom, I mean, everything about this experience is phenomenal, and it's just really a credit to the organization for making this go as awesome as it does, you know, and it gets us better for the season. So it's really a collective group effort between our coaches, the organization, our teammates coming out here and working, and our wives back home who are really holding it down.
We know that they did the screening for Happy Gilmore, too, and a lot of the players were there. Who else do you think could act on the team? Do you think anyone else is capable of it besides Travis? Do you want to get in the game?
I'm a terrible actor. I would be a very bad actor, but I think there's a lot of guys on the team that could. I think Trey did a little cameo for that.
Yeah, he did. Hallmark movie. Uh-huh.
And that, you know, he did a good job in that. I think Creed does a good one. I saw him on SNL one time, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, there's a whole lot of guys. I think Gardner Minshew would be great, too. He'd be, like, perfect for it, too. But
what's he been like at camp? He just seems like a good time to have around, I guess.
He's a great guy. Great guy, great teammate, great football player. Guy just works. He's just another leader, like I was talking about earlier with Kels. Like, he comes to work. He prepares well. And it's a guy that you just want to take after.
The tight end room, who's maybe the jokester there other than maybe Travis
sometimes? Robert Tonyan.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's a good dude, man. He's a great personality. He's a great addition in the room. We got a lot of great personalities in the room. Trey is another great dude, you know, and all of those guys, Jake and Spivey and, you know, all those guys. It's just phenomenal. Wiley, I mean, we have a great tight end room. It's so much fun coming to work with those guys. They keep it lively, especially when we're away from our families here.
Talking a little bit about the offensive line, obviously Simmons has been one of the big stories of camp. You got to line up right next to him sometimes. How's he look from your perspective?
He's phenomenal. Yeah, the guy, he's another dude that, you know, he puts his head down. He works, you know. I know it's his first year in the league, but, you know, physically he's doing a great job. Mentally he's learning the playbook. He's doing everything that he can to be the best possible football player that he can. And it's encouraging to see. It's encouraging to see a young guy that comes in that takes pride in his work like that. You know, it makes me as a fifth-year guy just, like, really want to push myself even harder, because if that guy can come in and do it in his first year in St. Joe, you know, we can all do it, you know what I mean? And it's just that mentality that I think he's come in with, tenacity. Guy's just a really good football player, and I'm excited to continue seeing him grow.
Noah Gray, Chiefs tight end. We appreciate you coming on the show,
thank
man.
You guys.
Good
appreciate
to talk
you guys.
To you. Best
you guys
of luck.
Have a good one.
So that was Noah Gray a little bit earlier on today. Our player interviews here at camp are brought to you by Powell Exteriors, KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com. Talking about Josh Simmons there at the end, and I think everybody's acknowledged it's now, because the health thing is on a question, it's all about, hey, how quickly can he truly get all the calls down and communication down, and hey, he's a rookie. Those mistakes are going to happen. How advanced can he get by the time you get to week one? But he's going to be the left tackle for this team. We know that. Everybody talks about the physicality that he brings. It's clear as day. And then Noah Gray said he thinks acting-wise, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey would be the next two he'd pick for best actors on the team outside of Travis Kelce.
I mean, Creed was very good in that SNL skit when they were like the help their
and he's like,
boyfriends lifting them up and all that other stuff so they could feel what it was like to be with a real man, apparently. The Royals have made the moves needed to get their roster situated for now. All right, I'm going to go through a list. Nick Lofton, reinstated from the seven-day injured list. He's back with the club. Yastrzemski has reported for the active roster. He will be active for tonight's game. MJ Melendez, option to AAA.
Okay.
Steven Kolek, option to AAA. Chris Bubich, put on the 60-day injured list. Joey Weimer DFA'd, so that's how they clear off one of the roster spots. Kevin Biggio was also completely released. Remember, he was off the 40-man at one point when he had come back, but he's fully gone. And Rich Hill has elected free agency. So, to keep track, that's what we've done so far. Yastrzemski on the list, obviously, in place of MJ Melendez. And then as you're talking about the pitchers, right now Steven Kolek has been optioned to AAA, which means they haven't made the room for the other guys just yet that they made the trades for, so we don't know exactly how Burkett
they don't have to
the
do that until next week. Okay.
So those moves we don't know yet, but at least to get their roster situated for tonight, that's the way it's going to look. So Yastrzemski could start tonight. I don't know who's starting for the Blue Jays. We think he'll be in a pretty true platoon, lefty-righty, but MJ sent back down. So I thought, remember, we talked about how long he had a chance, but they made a move for an outfielder. That made his time short.
They called him up because Lofton went to the concussion list. He's off the concussion list, and so he goes back down. Plus, they also acquired, since he's been called up, they've acquired two outfielders, Cody. Since MJ's been called up, they acquired Grichik and Yastrzemski. And I understand Kags has also gone on the IL during that stretch, too. But essentially,
what do you think they do with Kags? Just real quick, we can talk about it more next week. What do you think?
Yeah, my guess
Kags
is here in about 10 days or so. He's going to have a rehab assignment in Omaha. I think he's going to have 3 or 4 games there, depending how he's doing.
And then he gets called back in the bigs.
Then he gets called back up. He's in the bigs, and he'll play right field most days.
And then Grichik and Yastrzemski will share left field.
Yep.
And go to the opposite side of the diamond. That's my best guess too. I just didn't know if there was any part of you that wondered if they just keep him in AAA. I think you made your decision, so he's a big leaguer, but I was just asking if you thought there was any chance they went the other way.
I would be shocked. I would be absolutely shocked if he doesn't get brought right away back to the big league club, assuming he's healthy.
Do you want to see the new guys right away? Do you like seeing like Yastrzemski away?
Yastrzemski for sure. And then next week, I want to see a couple of these pitchers. Falter and...
Kolek went to the minors.
But I'm talking... He was not going to be the guy out of the bunch if you're guessing who's going to end up long-term being the guy. I think Ryan Berger long-term is going to be interesting to watch, and then Bailey Falter short-term and long-term.
Here's the lineup for tonight. India, Witt Jr., and Vinny. Then 4-5-6 is Mikel Garcia, Salvador Perez, and Yastrzemski. Then 7-8-9 is Grichik, Frazier, and Isbell. I got to be honest, that is still better in the bottom part of the lineup than it was for a majority of the year.
True.
I'm not saying it's the world's greatest all time. I'm not saying this is the Bronx Bombers from the 20s, but that's a better lineup than the one they had a month ago.
It is.
And infinitely better if Kags comes up and hits, because then that lineup makes sense. Then that's a lineup that can compete. But they still have to hold water on the pitching staff until the offense either comes around or doesn't.
Get started tonight in Toronto. Royals begin this 9-game road trip. Something I am excited for tomorrow, though. We've mentioned over and over how Major League Baseball, you got so many darn games. Why not utilize your inventory?
Yeah.
You know, they've done the Rickwood Field games. They've done the Field of Dreams. They've done multiple games that have been really, really cool by utilizing their inventory. They played in London. So what are they doing tomorrow? They're having a baseball diamond inside the Bristol Speedway racetrack.
It's going to set a single game attendance record.
Over 85,000, they think, are going to be there. Amazing. Reds, Braves. Great idea for baseball, and I haven't even seen it happen yet. It's a great idea. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. They need to continue to do things like this. I think Field of Dreams is going to be back next year, it sounds like. But you have 162 games for every team.
I think once a month.
I know it's. I'm not saying they don't put a ton of work into these events to make them right. Once a month, except for September.
Baseball should have a big show.
Yep. Once a month, except for September, because you're getting ready to you're into the playoffs. But other than that, every month, Major League Baseball should have one showcase game or weekend, whether it's London, Field of Dreams, Rickwood Field, another Speedway, some other idea we don't even know of right now. That is, to me, how you continue to draw interest. Otherwise, why would I care about the Reds and the Braves stink this year? Why would I care about the Reds and Braves game tomorrow?
Well, you're going to watch part
but
of
I'm going to watch part of it because I want to see what it looks like inside of a racetrack.
I will say, the other part, I'd go one step further. I also think one series a year should be played on a site near that team. So you alternate on the city near that team's home base. So the Royals should play a three-game set in Wichita, a three-game set in Omaha.
Well, they got enough games.
A three-game set in any small town near here. Anywhere that's in your viewership area, you take one series, and instead of playing it at Kauffman Stadium, you go play it in front of a sold-out crew in Omaha, a sold-out crew where, again,
you just go to your AAA affiliate. That's probably what you do.
Look, you start there, fine. But play a three-game set in Northwest Arkansas. Play it in their stadium. Play it at the University of Arkansas. Play it wherever you want to play it, but play it in a market that is close to your fan base and take three games every other year out of your home schedule and go play them somewhere else. Gold, because you're right. If you're going to keep an inventory of 81 games for each team at home, utilize it to grow the game where other teams will never do that. Football can't go on the road. They can take it to a foreign country, but they can't just say, oh, we're going to play Chiefs Bengals at Bryant Denny, right? They're not going to go take it to a college team, although I think Bing
Clinton wants that. Well, I would argue that not for football, but for baseball, you can.
Yes.
Why not? Like, for baseball, you could play have the Royals in. White Sox play, I don't know, just, you know, at the Bears Stadium. I don't know, like,
I don't care if
something
they play,
different.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't care if they play in Columbia.
Yeah.
Like, take three games and do it different every year, and then all these little markets that are football-crazed or just know of you, but you want to keep increasing and you want young people there, because, like, the 7-year-old Gold, who's maybe not super into baseball, who lives in Columbia, Missouri, if his dad's going to take him to the game because the Royals are going to be in town for 3 days here in Columbia, screw it. I live in Columbia and I got a kid. We're going to that damn game, right? Maybe you make a baseball fan out of them.
Yeah.
Recruit these kids at 162 games.
It doesn't even have to be. I mean, I like that idea. It doesn't even have to be each team doing a bunch. I truly just think for baseball, they can rotate it. One weekend or one game a month, you have a special showcase.
Mm-hmm. That's the big one. MLB does that too.
That to me, seems so easy. I'm not saying it doesn't take a lot of work to put together this event they're doing tomorrow.
Technically, there's two this year if you count the Japan series.
Yeah, I think it counts.
Yeah.
You know,
I
told you, I took issue with that.
I know, because before the season.
Do the Japan series in June or something. Having that be the first game of the big league season was my problem with the Japan series.
I agree, but that's how they do it over there. Anytime they do it, because, like, it's hard to get international in baseball because you essentially have to travel right back again. But it's like work the off days a little bit different. Put your product in as many cities as you can.
I want to go to that Field of Dreams game the next time they have it, especially if the Royals are involved. Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine that? Because of the stadium stuff, could you imagine if the Royals had a three-game set in Nashville this year?
Oh,
my God. You'd never hear the end of it.
Cody.
They took on who's the Sounds affiliate? Who's their major league club?
I'm not sure.
Let's just say it was like a three-game set against that team in Nashville.
Brewers. That's the Brewers affiliate.
Brewers Royals. Three games in Nashville. You'd be like, oh, what if they went there one time, you know?
Gosh.
But look, again, I still think, like, there's so many – professional sports are only in so many markets. So you only get to, like, live in those markets to experience them. But if you take your sport to the smaller cities that do it, I guarantee you can get enough people for a three. You're not going to have, like, it's not going to be half attended games in Columbia.
No, you know how insane tomorrow's going to be? 85,000 people at Bristol Speedway watch the Braves and Reds. Like, that's pretty
that's
darn cool.
Man. That's sweet.
Yeah. Chase Burns on the bump tomorrow, too.
Ooh.
Chase Burns, Mr. Strikeout.
Aren't you holding some for value?
I have two of his cards still. One I just got back from grading, a high level, pretty high dollar card, although I'm going to break the slab, I think, because the grade came back pretty crappy. And I think it's
absurd.
I had someone else look at it again. Nobody thinks it should be an 8. So I'm going to crack the slab and either sell it raw or resubmit it to Beckett. It's a 4 out of 10 Chase Burns auto. And yeah, it should be a $1,000, $800 card. Right now with an 8, it's probably only a $400 card. So I'm going to crack it.
I'm going to hold out.
I'll just crack the slab.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about that with Jack Caglione. We went to go do
the grading stuff right now. We could have a whole conversation about that on air.
They're getting picky now, man.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
They're getting picky.
Yeah.
Doesn't count for the same as it used to.
You see Tom Brady was at the National Card Show? He's opened up a bunch of card stores across the country now. Card Vault by Tom Brady or whatever I think it's called.
Oh, man, he's getting in the game, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
What's his who's his card deal through? Who does he – does he do new stuff still?
Yeah, I mean, you can still get his auto as a new product. Is he Tops? Yeah, you think he's Tops. I think he's Tops. I believe he has a deal with Tops.
This tiny little bee has been trying to get me all day. It's
a
fine.
Bee?
It's just a little
just
tiny
sweat. Just kill it. You've killed a wasp. Why won't you kill
it's just
that?
A tiny little sweat bee. I was just trying to let him live. This feels like a pretty
so you can
bee.
you choose between wasp and the bees. You
yeah,
like the bees.
I like
bees
to feel are like more God. Important. I like to choose
bees
them.
Are more important
ooh,
for the environment.
It's on my finger. Is it going to sting me?
What are you? You're complaining. You get stung. You're just letting it sit there on your finger. Just what are you?
I mean, it's just like sometimes if you make sudden movements, that's when you're more likely to get stung. You know?
Yeah.
He's get out of here, tiny bee. God.
All right.
I'm like a magnet for this stuff. It's crazy.
Oh man.
Someone I don't want to have to kill you, but I will.
Gould, it's frowned upon to crack a low grade and resell it. Yeah, that's why you send back the label so they take it out of the population report.
This is
people crack slabs all the time, man. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the name of the game.
It is.
Haven't done it yet. I think I'm going to have to do it for this card. So,
you think
it
it's
is
better,
one of those
it should
downsides.
Be better graded? Is that why you
yep.
want to crack it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
It's worth more raw than it is at its current grade.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for us here from St. Joe. We're back in St. Joe on Tuesday. We are back here on the show in studio Monday. JT, thanks for filling in for Drew. Great stuff all week. Drew is back from the Outer Banks on Monday. The Drive is up next.